Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Okay. This is actually a non-traditional Christmas song.
It's got a funny way of using the same four chords for every song you make.
From the band, the 1975. And you kind of got to wait a little bit to get to the Christmas part, which will be in the second half of the bumper music when we wrap Ethan's news. But Fred, this is a song about parents wanting their kids to come home for Christmas, essentially, and you just had both your kids come home, right?
Yeah, both Shane and Noah are here from New York and D.C., so that's great.
I like that song. Matty Healy is the lead singer of the 1975, and you'll hear the Christmas part of it when I go out, because it's there's not a lot of non-traditional Christmas songs. Like, that's on their last album, and most people probably wouldn't even consider it a Christmas song. It's called Wintering, so
I decided
to use it. It's a great song. It really is, and I'm a big fan of the 1975. We have had several things happen today since the show has started that have been kind of interesting, and let me run down some of those here before we get to Ethan's news filling in for Sue. You ready to go here?
Bring it on, baby.
All right, well, first of all, there's a new CR. Let me talk about that. We had Carl Cannon on the last hour. During that conversation, details were starting to emerge about a 116-page continuing resolution for spending to not shut down the government tomorrow at 12:01, and it looks like Trump's supporting it. I don't know. Chip Roy had tweeted something out an hour ago. This was before they had released details. He was very insistent upon no increase in the debt ceiling, so I don't know where they are on that, but we're going to update you as we know information. And we have Duane Patterson coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, about an hour from now, and he will be all over this. I guarantee you that. The other thing, and this just happened, is Fred, you looked up at the screen. I think Ethan did too. Neil Cavuto has decided to depart Fox. Now, the LA Times ran a story about this, saying that Neil Cavuto, the first anchor hired by Fox News, this is interesting, in 1996, is leaving the network, another casualty of cost-cutting in the TV business. He's 66. They say that today was his last appearance on Your World. His current contract is up at the end of the month. Now, the way that some of these things are being described is, and this is the media environment that we live in, he was being offered a new contract, but it wasn't nearly what the old contract was, so he decided, because of the lower salary, to ditch out. Now, that's according to sources, if you will. But you know what they mentioned, Fred, in here? And I don't think I knew this, that they say big-name anchors across the TV news business are being asked to take lower salaries as ratings and revenues are shrinking. Hoda Kotb of NBC's Today and Chris Wallace of CNN both chose to leave their roles. Are you telling me that Hoda's no longer on the Today Show?
I didn't know that.
Let me see this. I don't believe it. Maybe she's just leaving a different role. Let's see here. What does it say? Man, I guess, yeah, her last show is this week.
Wow.
That could actually get me going back to watch the Today Show again, because I swear, I just can't stand her. And what was funny is, and I just mentioned this to Fred, Savannah Guthrie, who is the main host of the Today Show, I know Savannah. I worked with her in Columbia, Missouri many, many years ago. A lot of people don't know that. She was in Columbia at KMIZ. She didn't even go to journalism school at Mizzou. She was just working in Columbia at the time, and I was doing film reviews at Channel 17, so a bunch of us used to hang out. Savannah went to the University of Arizona, got a law degree, was on Court TV, really was doing great work, and then ended up on the Today Show. But when I took my son, this was like 6 years ago, maybe longer, Fred, when he graduated from Mizzou, I took Aiden to New York, and we saw Norbert Leo Butz in a musical, and he had us backstage because, you know, I'm friends with Norbert. And then Savannah was nice enough to have us at the Today Show. So we did a little tour, and we got a chance to say hi. She's a big star now, so it wasn't a lot of time. But she introduced me to Hoda. And Hoda could not have been nicer. She was so nice, and I felt so bad. But she was very nice. But I guess I can go back to watching the Today Show, so that's kind of interesting.
Speaking of the Today Show, Main Street St. Charles just received an award of some sort from the Today Show for, like, best Christmas-themed something. I mean, I don't know if you've been down there at all.
I think it deserves it.
It's
beautiful.
It is awesome down there, and they do a lot of cool stuff. But they received some award recently from the Today Show for that.
Interesting. I did not know that. All right, so I got to play a song here, and I think that everyone in St. Louis, I'll ask you, Ethan, when you pulled this song, did you know it at all?
No, I did not.
Okay. It's a very popular song, maybe more popular here in St. Louis, and I'll explain in a second here. Because this is a what we would call a KC classic, right? Brew and Shipley. It's called One Toke Over the Line. I have no idea what the lyrics are referring to, ladies and gentlemen. That's always been confusing to me. Jesus, one toke over the line. But these guys are from Kansas City. I don't know if you knew that, Fred.
Yeah.
Brew and Shipley. They went out to L.A., though, when they started writing music. And this was a big hit. And the album was called, I have to look it up, it's called Tarkio Days or something like that, named after Tarkio, Missouri, which is north of Kansas City. But Michael Brewer has passed away at the age of 80. And he still lived in Missouri. He was down in the Branson area, apparently.
Right, I think he died in one of the Cox hospitals in Branson.
Yeah, he did. I guess this happened a couple of days ago. He passed away on what's today, the 19th? I guess it was just on Tuesday. And Tom Shipley said, Michael Brewer, my friend of 65 years and music partner for over 60, had to go. I saw him on Saturday at Cox Hospital. He told me he wanted to go home. He was weak and very tired. They took him home on Sunday, and his wife Scarlett called me this morning to tell me he was gone. So tonight I will raise a glass to Michael and drink to all those years, all those miles, all those songs, all those heavenly audiences we played for. Go with God, my friend. I'll see you on the other side.
Well, that's cool.
It is cool. I don't know that I would count that song as like one of my favorites, but man, it was played a lot
it's
here.
It's a classic.
It definitely is a classic. And I'm always curious to know how much the rest of the country knows that song, because some of these hits were a little bit more regional. All right, Ethan, are you ready here? We got to do Sue's News. Sue will be back on Monday.
Let's roll.
But right now we have Ethan.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No.
And now Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
But not today.
So today, to start off Ethan's news, I have something interesting for you guys. 48% of Americans don't plan to drink or smoke anything during the holidays. That's up from 42% when the same question was asked 2 years ago. So, hey, we're moving in a good direction
that
there.
That actually is very fascinating to me. You know, I have not had any drinking of alcohol since 1990, but what's been fascinating to me, and for many years, I didn't even have any NAs or anything like that. Then I, would try O'Doul's and stuff like that. But the NA market and the mocktails, that's taken off. It really has. A lot more restaurants have more options, and that's encouraging.
I always wonder, are they the same price as an alcoholic drink?
Yes.
They
shouldn't be.
Well,
there
I don't know. I don't know that they are, Fred, but they certainly seem that way.
Yeah,
I mean,
they
if you're
do.
Getting one at a nice
they
restaurant
do.
Or something, yes, they will charge you the same amount. But some of them are pretty good, so that's why get away from.
Especially
do you drink alcohol, Fred?
Occasionally have a beer.
Man, I don't know. This is just
me. Not on my own if I'm out with someone.
So I think I've said this over the years, and maybe Sue would not approve of this, but this is why I can get away with things when Sue's not here. I would actually pay money to see Fred a little looped, wouldn't you? I don't know. There's something about that could be entertaining.
Tempting.
Yeah, I know. Think about it, Fred.
No.
It's worth a shot.
Yeah, I tried.
Only 11% plan to do both drink and smoked, which is down from 13% 2 years ago. And for people who don't plan to be sober this month, here are the top things we're drinking. People were asked, what will you drink the most this holiday? 22% said beer. 21% said wine. 19% said eggnog. Are you guys eggnog drinkers?
Ooh. I love eggnog. I haven't had it yet this year, but I love it. It's bad for you, I think, isn't it?
I don't mind it, actually, but I know that I don't even know if I've ever had it mixed with booze because that was so long ago, but I don't think I've had eggnog, period, in 20 years, but it's okay. I
absolutely love eggnog.
What do people put in eggnog? What do you do? You put rum in there or what?
Do you just drink it raw,
I like to drink it straight up. Sometimes, the problem I have with eggnog is I love it so much that like it'll catch up to me very. It's like, oh man, I don't feel good.
Right.
I have no discipline with it because it's so good. I almost tried it with some rum the other night. I'm like, you know what? It's just so good the way it is. I don't want to mess it up. I'm just gonna leave it as is. And I just was drinking it straight up. Sometimes I put a little milk in it to kind of ease it a little bit.
I was at a party over the weekend and I noticed some people walking around with eggnog, but it wasn't out. It was just in the refrigerator, and
ooh,
I was just afraid to go into the refrigerator and take some of the eggnog.
Yeah, That's a no-no.
People were tempting me with it, but I didn't do it.
Are you a beer drinker, though, Ethan?
Mm-hmm.
Are you?
I wasn't a couple years ago, and then I met my wife's family, and they're like craft beer connoisseurs, and they really got me into it.
So
and that
fancy
opened,
beer.
That well, I'll drink. I mean, I'll drink Bud Light if it's there, but it's I don't know. It kind of. Yeah, I have to imagine that's probably what pee tastes like.
Probably.
I'm not a fan of domestic beer, real domesticated beer. So, but I do like the craft stuff.
I always liked, like back in the day, you know, when I did drink beer, and I liked beer. I liked it too much, probably. But like Keystone Light, that was my poverty beer. Back in the day, you could probably get a 24 pack for $2.75 of that stuff.
Wow.
That might be a slight exaggeration, but I'm telling you,
I don't really care for. I don't really care for the domestic stuff. I like the craft beer. 17% said mixed drinks and. And 10% of people are not messing around with the straight liquor. Moving on here in Ethan's news, a poll found the average American wasted 110 hours this year just searching for stuff to watch. That's around 4.5 days worth of time,
oh,
or roughly 1% of your year that you will never get back. Luckily for us, we have the great Paul Hall, so we never have to deal with that issue.
I think there's probably other people that can relate to this, because for me, when I get into the later evening hours, if I'm trying to fall asleep, I don't know why I do this. I do it almost like every night. I just click on Max. Is there something else I should watch? Then I go to Netflix. Is there something I should? And then I go to Hulu. And it's like, and then I never pick anything except for the damn thing that I was watching. However, Paul recommended this, and I started it a couple of nights ago. I got to go back to it. Max, Christopher Reeve documentary. Really good. Very, very interesting. You know, it goes through, and he essentially narrates part of it because they use his voice from when he was alive. So I would recommend that. I've only seen half of it, but that would be something I put on the list.
1 in 5 people think it's harder to find something to watch today than it was 10 years ago, even though there's way more content out there. The most common complaint was streaming services are loaded with too much old stuff that you have to sift through. 1 in 4 also think there's too much original content being produced, which I thought was kind of an interesting review from the people.
It's just overwhelming. The content is a little bit too
much. That's a good
way
to put it.
And when you're looking, sometimes when you're looking for something new, it doesn't pop up because you do have so much of the older content. So I understand that complaint.
It's kind of like it went from a garden hose to a fire hose. There's just so much.
So if I were to ask
Fred, doing his best Senator John Kennedy,
that was
nice.
That was good. Maybe that can make one of the intros. If I were to ask you guys what America's national bird is, you would tell me it's the bald eagle. And I would actually tell you that you're wrong. America technically, officially, has never had a national bird. And until now. The House passed a bill this past week to make it the official bird. The Senate already voted on it unanimously this summer. So now President Biden just has to sign off and it'll be official. And you can thank a bald eagle enthusiast from Minnesota for making this happen. 78-year-old Preston Cook has been collecting bald eagle memorabilia for over 50 years. He has amassed more than 40,000 eagle-related items. What a random little niche to have. And then donated.
Do you have any indication why it took so long? Why would it take so long to get to this point?
Well, I mean, it's on the seal, for God's sake. I have to imagine it's probably just like, oh, it goes without saying is probably what it was.
But then the question would become, did we really need this? I mean, we've been okay for
exactly.
all these years. Did we need something? They can't even do the serious business, but they can pass unanimously in the Senate the national bird legislation.
Yeah, funny.
I'm biased, but I think it should be two birds on a bat.
There Amen to that,
Thank
brother.
You, Thank right. you, Fred.
Okay, yep. As we move on quickly, as we near our wrap-up, our birthdays for today, not as many as yesterday. Boy, there was a lot of big ones yesterday. Jake Gyllenhaal, 44, and Alyssa Milano is 52. Today is...
Well, I had a crush on her a bit bad.
I think we all did.
Who didn't?
I did, too, until I learned her politics. But, you know, she was very... Fred, you remember, we interviewed her for the All-Star Game.
Right,
She was in a line of female clothing. She created a line of baseball merchandise for women that was pretty impressive. Yeah, she was very nice, but then I learned her politics.
Interesting. How about that? Today is National Hard Candy Day. A quick on this day in history. 107 years ago in 1917, the first two hockey games were played in the NHL, and just to give you a sign of how the times have changed, the Montreal Wanderers beat the Toronto Arenas 10-9 in one of the games.
Wow.
The Titanic was released 27 years ago today, and Dolly Parton's 9-5 came out in 1980, 44 years ago today.
I saw this on the musical history list, and I was going to send this to you, but I'm impressed that you did it on your own. So, you know, iconic song, iconic movie.
Am I earning a reputation of being able to hold my own in Ethan's news
yet? You're getting some points, yeah.
Okay, we wrap up with the random fact of the day to conclude Ethan's news. Every British king or queen has a second birthday assigned to them if their real birthday isn't in the summer. So there's good weather for their birthday parade. For example, Queen Elizabeth II's actual birthday was April 21st, but her official birthday was held on a Saturday in June. And the same with King Charles.
What?
His real birthday is November 14th, but his official one was on June 15th.
I don't like that. And that is it for Ethan's news. I don't like that, and I'm fascinated by it. But
yeah.
That was really good. You don't have to. I told you this yesterday, right? You do not have to do the random fact tomorrow.
I'm relieved because that's the hardest part.
That will be tackled by Alexa Reardon. She has already laid claim. She started reading me the random fact that she had last night. It runs about 3.5 minutes, so I told her she might need to cull it down just a little bit, but she's very excited. She also has a Christmas song picked out for the bump at 4:07 tomorrow. So she's coming in, she's off school, and we're going to have that.
This is on pace to be perhaps the greatest Sue's News fun fact ever.
Don't overbill it, but there is the potential. I'll go out with the part of the 1975 song that's a little bit more Christmas-oriented. We're coming back with Phil Holloway. We're going to go down to Atlanta, Georgia here. I don't think it's going to snow down there, but let's refresh our memory from last year with our friend Fonnie Willis.
Confused. You think I'm on trial. These people are on trial for trying to steal an election in 2020. I'm not on trial, no matter how hard you try to put me on trial. I don't need anything from a man. A man is not a plan. A man is a companion. Let me tell you which one you lied in. Right here. I think you lied right here. No. This is the truth,
Judge.
It is a lie.
Ah, the memories of Fonnie, our friend Phil Holloway down in Atlanta, Fox News contributor and analyst with us this afternoon. Merry Christmas, Phil. How are you?
Oh, Merry Christmas. Happy to be here, guys. How are you?
I'm good. So what happened here? They didn't throw the case out, though, but they said that she's off the case.
Yeah, no, they didn't dismiss the indictment, although it's effectively dead. Look, we never expected that the Court of Appeals would dismiss the case on this basis. I mean, the parties asked for it, at least the defendants asked for it, but I don't think anybody realistically expected that piece of it would be granted. But here's the thing. She's gone. Well, as soon as her appeals are exhausted and she does get to ask the Georgia Supreme Court to weigh in on this, but I don't think that's going to go anywhere. So once this is completely final, we have an orphaned indictment, Mark, and what that means is that it's an indictment without a prosecutor. And so under Georgia law, when you have prosecutors that either voluntarily or, like in this case, involuntarily are recused from cases, the prosecuting attorney's counsel, very small state agency, they can choose to dismiss the indictment outright as a matter of their own discretion, or they could try to find another prosecutor in the state of Georgia. But that's very, very unlikely. I don't see any prosecutor willing to take the case. I could be wrong, but look, they would probably have to suspend all their normal operations and find the money somewhere, somehow, to devote towards prosecuting Fannie Willis's pet project. And look, they have to go back and start all over, basically, because of the way that her actions have tainted the viability of the case from a prosecution perspective. So,
yeah, so like the judge
matter, this is a huge win for all the defendants who are involved in that indictment, and I think it's effectively over.
Yeah, because the judge said, Trenton Brown is the judge, I guess, that said in the order that Trump and eight of his co-defendants had numerous grounds to appeal the case after the lower court imposed an improper remedy, despite concluding that Willis's prosecution had a significant appearance of impropriety. So they kind of slapped her pretty good here, too, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And the big thing that really, I hope, gets everybody's attention, but certainly hers, is that they reminded prosecutors that their job is to bring cases and comport themselves, conduct the affairs of their office in a way that is in the interest of the public, okay, not in their own personal interests. And that's really what's at stake here, whether it's, as some people might say, a sort of self-dealing financially by funneling money back to herself through her prosecutor boyfriend, or if it's in her personal political interests, or just out of pure personal, you know, hatred for a particular individual who she decides to target. That's just not how prosecutors are supposed to run their affairs. They highlighted that in this opinion today. I don't see the Supreme Court taking it, but if they do, it might be simply to underscore that point and to affirm Georgia's Court of Appeals. But needless to say, this was a bad day for Willis, but she's had a particularly bad couple of weeks, you know, losing the YSL trial and all that. She's really, really on her heels right now.
Well, it seems like a lot of these prosecutors are. Look, we gave Kim Gardner the boot here in St. Louis. Gascon is out in L.A. Kim Fox in Chicago. Alvin Bragg's still hanging on, but how funny, I don't know if you saw, did you see, and I was impressed with the police commissioner of New York City coming out and really, you know, very forcefully saying all this praise for Luigi Mangione is just sick. Alvin Bragg standing right next to her. He hasn't said a damn thing since the Danny Penny, you know, acquittal. I'd love to hear some more comments from him, but that was embarrassing just to have him up there. I give Jessica Tisch credit, though, for being so hardcore and saying, look, this is insane to hold this guy up as a hero.
Look, that's just a phenomenon that really, really has me scratching my head. It seems now that it's fashionable on the left in many instances to, let's just say, condone violence as a means to effectuate some political or social change that they're interested in. You get all these folks like Bernie Sanders, and they'll say, well, this is terrible, but, you know, and they have to qualify it with the word but. And then they go on to express some type of statement for, more or less appreciation for what the murderer has done up there.
Yeah,
and so it's just really, really disturbing.
But there's also, did I see also there's some federal charges that Mangione was hit with today as well?
Yeah, you know, look, there's all kinds of federal charges that might fit this case. What the grand jury might ultimately do is going to be probably a question for the Trump Justice Department here in just a few weeks. But needless to say, it's illegal to cross state lines to avoid criminal prosecution. There's a federal murder statute that I think would apply here as well. And look, let's face it, if you got a bunch of the wackos on the left that are expressing support for the defendant, who knows if you're going to get some of those that might find their way onto a Manhattan jury. We've seen how untrustworthy Manhattan juries can be sometimes. And so if you're looking for to ensure that there's a conviction, if you're looking to ensure that the rule of law is upheld, and quite frankly, if you're looking for potentially some way to maybe get the death penalty on the table, it might be that federal authorities want to go ahead and get in on this from the ground and floor and work their way into it at the very beginning so that you have sort of parallel prosecutions taking place.
Yeah, that makes sense. Phil Holloway, Fox News legal analyst with us this afternoon. Did you see, one more topic I was going to cover with you. Did you see this connection to this guy in L.A. with the girl in Madison, Wisconsin at the school shooting?
You know, I don't think I saw that one per se, but I've seen all kinds of other disturbing information regarding that particular shooting. And it's to the point where I think I've seen it all, and then I see something else that I've never seen.
Yeah, so this is, I almost missed this myself. This was in the LA Times this morning, and it says, and there's a television station, CBS 8 out there, FBI agents detained this 20-year-old guy from Carlsbad, California. And I guess they learned that he was in communication with this 15-year-old Samantha Rupnow. They say that during the FBI interview, Pallendorf is the guy's name, he admitted to the FBI that he told Rupnow that he would arm himself with explosives and a gun, that he would target a government building. That's according to some of the court documents. I guess the thing that jumps out to me is this kid's 15 years old, and she's talking to a guy who's 20 in Los Angeles about, you know, shooting up schools. That's rather staggering.
Well, and so the idea would be that if anybody gives any kind of encouragement to somebody to go and commit an act like that of violence or any other crime, they could potentially be criminally liable as an accessory to that crime under various state and even federal statutes, because we're dealing with interstate commerce when you're talking about the internet or anything basically, you know, electronic, right? So there's a federal nexus there. And if the charges are appropriate, they should probably be brought, because you just cannot condone or sit back and not prosecute when you have this type of activity that encourages such senseless violence.
Absolutely. Do you have awesome Christmas plans, Phil Holloway?
Oh, listen, we're going to be here. We're going to be at home at Christmas. And then, of course, you know, New Year's is right behind it. And I'm looking forward to some downtime. It looks like all the judges that I deal with wanted to cram everything into the last few days right here going into the break.
Are you a big football guy or not?
Oh, yeah, we got big SEC folks here in Atlanta and in my house, and we've got, of course, the Georgia Bulldogs, so we got a lot of football to look forward to around here as well.
I'm looking forward. Look, you got all kinds of college games and pro games spread out. I'm so glad. Look, I know a lot of people are NBA fans. I'm not. I was in an NBA city a couple of times. I lived in Chicago and Milwaukee, and I got into it when I was in Milwaukee. But, you know, for those of us who don't live in an NBA market, it's really, really off the radar. I guess the same would apply for hockey if you're not in an NHL market. But I'm so glad that they have NFL games on Christmas. I'm sure that the teams might not be as happy in their families, but I didn't want to watch NBA basketball on Christmas Day. How about that?
Well, once we get a little bit older, we need things like that to occupy a lot of our time, particularly later in the day on Christmas, as we need to just sort of wind down.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about, Phil. Hey, Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for everything. Happy New Year. We'll talk soon. Well, on the topic, by the way, of the CR, there's action on that. We're going to have the very latest after the top of the hour. Our friend Dwayne Patterson from hotair.com will have the very latest. They do have a new version of the bill. It's 116 pages. It's not 1,500 pages. So we'll get to that. Let's talk a little bit about our friends up north in Canada. Here's what President Trump has said recently.
Drugs are pouring in at levels never seen before. 10 times what we had. They're just pouring in. We can't have open borders. And I said to the president of Mexico and to Justin Trudeau, if it doesn't stop, I'm going to put tariffs on your country at about 25%.
And he's been kind of teasing Justin Trudeau as the 51st governor of the 51st state, right? And Trudeau says,
we were supposed to be on a steady, if difficult sometimes, march towards progress. And yet, just a few weeks ago, the United States voted for a second time to not elect its woman president. Everywhere, women's rights and women's progress is under attack, overtly and subtly. But I want you to know that I am, and always will be, a proud feminist. You will always have an ally in me and in my government.
Yeah. There's a word that I want to use with Justin Trudeau that I can't use on the radio because of the FCC. And if I had a damn podcast, I would use it. And I think you know what word that is. Pretty sure that Joe Warmington, our friend of the Toronto Sun, knows what that word is. How are you, Joe? Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. All that stuff. How are things in Canada?
Well, state, we're hanging in there, you know, with our new president coming in and all. But no, it's painful to listen to those clips.
It really is.
It's really, really embarrassing, the whole thing. And, you know, I understand politics a little bit, but this is kind of a new area. You know, we've never seen anything like this. And, you know, obviously you didn't mention, but Trudeau is really on the ropes here. I mean,
well, that's what I want to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so what's the reality of him being on the ropes? Because we get limited information. I've seen things certainly that indicate that he could be on his way out. Your system of government works a little bit different than ours here. So what's the very latest on that, and how can you explain it best to my audience?
Well, let me say this, that I gave him the nickname Trudini a long time ago. This guy's had more scandals than anybody in politics ever. I mean, I'm talking, he wore blackface, not just once, twice, like so many times he can't remember. He's got a Gropegate incident with a reporter that he's, you know, got away with saying, look, sometimes women see, you know, interactions differently than men, things like that. I mean, he gets away with stuff. SNC-Lavalin was a business case where they were charged on the international with a crime, but he made a deal to let them just pay a fine instead. I mean, we're talking, this guy's really something. I mean, he's as good at doing this stuff as anybody, so I don't rule him out. But with his finance minister and his partner in crime for the last 9 years, Chrystia Freeland, a big WEF and globalist type, she turned on him over our big deficit here, which is $62 billion, the annual deficit, which is about $40 billion higher than, you know, it was a couple of years ago. So it's outrageous. We've got big problems here. So, you know, his own party's turned on him. The whole country's tired of him. They're ready for Pierre Poilievre to come in, but he doesn't have to, Trudeau doesn't have to call an election until the earliest October, But in our system, you can force an election if you have a vote of non-confidence in the House of Commons. So it's not quite like the American system where you've got these fixed dates. They try to have fixed dates here, but they really don't, because he's got a minority parliament. He could lose it. We could be to an election. But I tell you, Trudini is the best at this. And so I wouldn't be surprised if he makes it through Christmas here into the spring and probably all the way to the fall. And you never know. As crazy as it sounds, remember, he got elected, Mark, with 29% support of the country. He doesn't have much support. But the way the system works, almost like the popular vote and the way you have the Electoral College here, it's seats and it's regional. And so, you know, if you can, in the parties split it up, we've got five parties in Parliament. We've got a Quebec party, we've got a Green party, and then we've got the Liberals and the Conservatives, which is kind of like Republican and and Democrats. And then you've got the thing called the NDP, which is the left arm, but you don't really have that. Like, you've got like Bernie Sanders and that inside the Democratic Party, but we have a separate party. They have like 17 or 18 seats, and they have the balance of power. So hopefully that explains it. But, you know, we've got a crisis with this 25% that the President Trump is talking
with
about
the
bringing
tariff,
in.
On the tariffs, yeah. And that's let's go back to that, because you mentioned Chrystia Freeland, and we don't have the perspective of that. So one of the things I learned even from you, Joe, here, she's the former Deputy Prime Minister and Finance Minister, but she was an ally, longtime ally of Justin Trudeau, you're saying?
Yes, absolutely. She's a journalist that she got in, and she's a leftist journalist. She had connections. You know, you remember when Klaus Schwab from the WEF said, "We penetrate the cabinets"? And he mentioned about Canada, specifically half the cabinet. Well, she's a close friend and worked with and wrote a book about Soros, George Soros.
Okay.
Which is your friend,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, unfortunately.
America's
yeah.
friend, George Soros. So that's who she is. Trudeau's always been a puppet marionette kind of person. I mean, he doesn't make his own decisions. He's the progressive prince on the shiny hill. And even in this whole thing, he's going on about abortion and, you know, transgender rights and this and that. And, of course, everybody here, like, nobody's against anybody. You know, it's a very tolerant society. But when they can't pay their mortgage and they yeah. can't go to the grocery store, they're tired of hearing about it. They're tired of hearing how they're racist and they're homophobic and they're this and that. And that's what Trudeau did. And, of course, during the pandemic, I mean, you saw the clips. You used to run them. I talked to you during that time.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it was like a gulag here. I mean,
yeah.
literally, and I was thinking, my son's 12 years old now, and my mom is in her 80s, and we used to go to the hockey games, and they had like a airport style, you know, you had to go through a checkpoint, and you had to show all your ID, and did you have these vaccinations, and all these kinds of things, and it was like all this plexiglass, and there was security there. And this is to go to your kid's hockey game.
It's ridiculous.
And,
yeah.
And my mom and I refused to. We just walk right through it. And, of course, the whole time you're in there, you're worried about they're going to call the police and get a taser out, maybe, you know, all that stuff. Canada has really been through rough times. I think it's time for a new government, but I just think, knowing Trudini like I do, I won't be surprised if he finds a way out of this.
But you would predict then, because one way an election be called is with a no-confidence vote. You don't anticipate that there's the votes for that?
Well, I don't think so, because the other thing is the third party, the NDP guy, his name is Jagmeet Singh. He's got his pension that doesn't get vested until the 25th of February. So the whole country is held up
because of that,
until he gets his pension.
Oh,
and so after that, but then the problem is there's 50 other MPs, members of parliament, mm-hmm. that they need to go till October. They have already moved the date 1 week, so they would get their pensions. So there's these other things at play. So the whole, all of Canada, you remember this NDP guy I mentioned, he's a socialist, but he drives a Maserati and he has Rolexes. I don't have
oh,
either of those
that.
Things.
I love yeah. that. That's interesting, right? Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Trudeau should fall here, but the wild card is what I'm telling you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's the perspective that we lack, certainly.
But I think we should talk about the tariffs, too, and how it'll affect America.
Okay, so let's talk. And then one of the questions, Joe Warmington's here from the Toronto Sun. That's one of my questions. How is that being covered up there? And then, you know, there's not everyone in this country that's a fan of the tariffs, and we're not exactly sure what Trump's going to do. So there's some risk here as well. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, the tariffs on Canada, it is ridiculous. And, you know, Trump has thrown it out there for negotiation reasons, and it's worked. He's really messing with Trudeau, who he doesn't like.
Yeah.
And he also was smart because the last time he tried this, he went straight at Mexico. And you remember Vicente Fox and all the former president, all that, they were really upset and it wired them up. So he threw Canada in this time. And so it's been reversed. And so Mexico is not the story. Canada's the story. And he knows that Trudeau's in turmoil and hanging on, gripping the power. But the thing that he's forgot is that the trade between Canada and the U.S. is bigger than any other partner that America has combined. If you look around the world, there's no bigger trade arrangement. It's trillions of dollars every, it's a big deal. And, a lot of the stuff that goes back and forth, America needs, and of course we need it because we're a lot smaller in terms of population. It's a big country landmass, but it's a smaller population. It's only 38 or 40 million here. And so it's a partnership, a friendship. It's not something you'd normally do is go and urinate on the lawn of your neighbor. When you do that, it's not very good. So I don't think that Trump should have done it. I understand why he did it. I understand the politics of it. And, I think that a lot of people are enjoying it because they love to see Trudeau kind of getting a little bit of his own medicine. But from my perspective, as a guy raising a family, if America puts that 25% on us, that will basically kill our economy. It's already our dollar's under 70 cents value to your dollar. We can't afford to come there like we were planning to come for Christmas, but we cannot afford to go there. That is not good for America because
you're right.
In the case of Florida as a good example, a lot of the economy in the winter is Canadian snowbirds that go down there. If they can't go there anymore, and we're dealing with hundreds of thousands of people, that will affect some regions of Florida. So, and there's bigger things than that. There's obviously oil that comes
across. Oil is a big part of it. Yeah, more than 50% of the crude is from Canada that we have in this country.
Yeah, I think Trump knows that. I think he's just having a little bit of fun. I don't know exactly. And the other thing, too, is when President Trump talks about the border and the fentanyl coming in through Canada to the United States, I know it's happened, but I'm going to tell you something. You know what comes into Canada from the United States? First of all kinds of those, M13, all the gangs that come up north, they come right here, and they go across in Quebec, and our RCMP would carry their bags. Every day there's a shooting, and I live in the Greater Toronto area. I cover this area. There's shootings and murders like American cities have, but it's always 88% American guns that have been smuggled into Canada.
Yeah, that's
unfortunate. So it's not like there's not issues way.
I think you're right though, Joe, and I got to wrap because I'm almost up. But the trolling, he's having fun with the trolling. I certainly couldn't say this with confidence, but I do think that this is going to work itself out. But we'll see. I'm not a fan of all the tariff talk. I really am not. And I've challenged it, and it's complicated. And I know there's politics, as you indicated, but we'll have to see where things kind of fall out. Joe, it's always great to have you on.
I'll just say this last thing. I want to wish everyone Merry Christmas. Look, President Trump coming in ultimately will be a good thing for Canada because they will make a deal. He's a deal maker.
Yep.
And they'll figure it out, and both boats will float. That's what I believe, and I think that's what most Canadians believe as well.
That's what I believe, too, but I'm wrong about a lot of things. Merry Christmas to you, Joe Warmington. It's awesome to have you on, as always. You're our Canadian correspondent up there in Toronto. How's the snow level right now?
Well, we don't have too much here in Toronto, but there's a little bit, in the north we've had quite a bit, so that's nice to see. And don't forget that we have that carbon tax because of all this climate change, which is another big problem. You don't want that. I'll tell you that. It's a lot off your check. That's one of the biggest problems is this thing called the carbon tax. So
it's ridiculous.
Stay away from that. If you hear that buzzword, run.
All we have. Joe, Merry Christmas. Thank you so much. Take care.
Take care.
All right, we'll see you.
Bye-bye. Get more at 971talk.com.